CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Vladimir Putin, in making remarks these last days, chose to mention nuclear weapons, something about an alert. We have this news from Moscow in these last days. Russian nuclear submarines sailed off for drills in the Barents Sea, and mobile missile launchers roamed snow forest Tuesday in Siberia after President Putin ordered his nation's nuclear forces put on high alert over tensions with the West over the invasion of Ukraine. Russia's Northern Fleet said in a statement, it was designed to train maneuvering in stormy conditions, this deployment of its Russian submarine fleet with nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons here in the 21st century. I welcome my colleague and friend, author Charles Pellegrino, who is the author of To Hell and Back, The Story of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the nuclear weapons used in anger at the end of the Second War by the United States on the Imperial Japanese Army and Navy. However, it was the civilians who suffered and struggled in that attack. And Charlie's book details a particular group of civilians who were living in Hiroshima and working in Hiroshima, and after the attack chose to move from Hiroshima to Nagasaki to continue their work before Nagasaki was also attacked. So they were double victims. Charlie, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I'm struck by the fact that your book, To Hell and Back, published some years before, is now once again a popular item on Amazon, both the CD and the audio and the Kindle and the paperback book that's available, especially for young people. I reason, Charlie, that nuclear weapons have not been taught in schools for many years. We grew up with them because we're 20th century Cold War survivors. What is it that you want the young people and the people buying your book to know about the use of the Hiroshima bomb, which was, to my memory, uranium bomb, and the Nagasaki bomb that was, to my memory, a plutonium bomb? Good evening to you, Charlie.
Good evening. First, that they should never be used anywhere by anyone for any reason whatsoever. The Hiroshima bomb actually went off with less force than it was calculated to go off with. Went off with between 10 and 12 kilotons, which if you set it off over the Empire State Building today, it would flatten almost all of New York City. It would cause lethal injuries in Queens, the Bronx, and across the river in New Jersey. And that was a tiny bomb. When you get to full-scale nuclear war today, you're talking about 330 kilotons on some of the Russian bombs, which are basically city killers. And if you knew one was coming today and it was targeted toward the Empire State Building, the thing I would do is just get my family as close as possible to the Empire State Building, because you don't want to be around for the day after.
There were people who survived the attack on Hiroshima and traveled to Nagasaki. I want to talk first about Hiroshima. There was a man, a young man, who left his mother that morning in their house that was close to what became Ground Zero. The bomb, my memory, Charlie, from our conversations over the years, the bomb never reached the ground. It exploded in the air and then spread out across Hiroshima. He found the house and he looked for his mother or remains of his mother. What he found were bones. Is that correct, Charlie?
Yes, he was, except that he was married about 2 weeks before. It was his wife he was looking for. And he could identify only certain tiles on a wall and the foundations of the home. And over the course of 2 days, he eventually found bones of his wife, and then managed, because he was an engineer, he managed to get on a train and go to Nagasaki. He just wanted to bring his wife's bones back to her parents in Nagasaki. That was his whole plan.
And he arrived in Nagasaki before the second attack. And did he survive the second attack? My memory is that he's one of the survivors.
He survived the second attack. He was in the building he was in Hiroshima. He was in a part of the building where metal beams had been in just the right direction facing the bomb. all the forces went around him. He also reported that he heard a scream in his head at the time of the voice. He thought it was either his mother or his wife saying, get undercover. And that's what he did. So he was shock cocooned. Every explosive event has these places where you can be shielded from the flash, from the blast. And he was in one of those spots. He was one of the few people in his office who ever walked out. In Nagasaki, the same thing happened again. He was walking behind a hill with his father, carrying in a bowl the bones of his wife. And he was shielded from the flash, and he was shielded from the blast. And at that same radius where he was, almost everyone else died instantly.
Another story in your book, To Hell and Back, of a man who was in hospital with cancer. What happened to him?
Yeah, that was Dr. Nagai, often referred to as the saint of Nagasaki because he counseled people for years afterward. He was in a hospital bed in the Nagasaki hospital, and his friends had predicted he only had a few weeks left to live. And he had walked over to a part of the building to develop some x-rays, and the blast went off. People in outer parts of that building received enough prompt gamma radiation and neutron spray that they could not survive. They would die over the next couple of weeks. He was deeper inside the building, got just the right amount of radiation that the cancer cells, radiation does target rapidly dividing cells, as you have in the inner lining of your stomach, and as cancer cells are. And he survived another 6 years. The cancer went into remission.
These stories, and there are many more in Charlie's book, add up to convincing any reader, and it convinced me again, that nuclear weapons are not really useful in any fashion whatsoever. There is no fashion. Even talking about them is foolishness if you understand what they do to human beings. If you understand that it's not a weapon of war, it's a weapon of self-extinction. Your measure of this talk from the Kremlin, Charlie, do you measure that they understand have they lost connection with what nuclear weapons do?
I don't know. I think that enough time has passed, and in the United States, it's a subject people don't like to see published. They don't like to read. They don't like to talk about it. And yet there was a film, pretty accurate. Part of it was from Dr. Nagai's diaries, 1983, the day after. That film portrayed it accurately enough based on Hiroshima and Nagasaki survivors that the film alone changed President Reagan's thinking. These are things that have to be taught, have to be remembered. And if you have people in charge who don't know any of it, who don't remember the stories of the survivors and who have never heard them, the odds of a horrible nuclear spasm go up.
Someday, Charlie, Hollywood will take on this subject. To my knowledge, there's never been a convincing presentation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We just have a few seconds. Do you believe that can happen in the future? 20 seconds, Charlie.
Yes, I believe it can happen. James Cameron has renewed his option on the book months ago. And, something, a new version of the day after that educates the public, it's necessary.
Charles Pellegrino, the author of To Hell and Back, which is the story of the last train from Hiroshima, double survivors, survived Hiroshima, survived Nagasaki to tell stories about it the rest of their lives. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.